Thanks, guys. If our kids want to head off to kids' church, kid was excited to go. And everybody was standing up, and y'all couldn't see, but man, Logan was down here. He was like a young Nathan Sigg. Did you see this kid? He was like air guitaring the heck out of some of those songs. I mean, he was like almost on his knees jamming out.
Arguably, that's an old Nathan Sigg.
That is old. That is true. That's an old Nathan Sigg. But yeah, that kid, I was like, man, if everybody worshiped like that, it'd be incredible. That kid was getting down. That was awesome. All right. We are going to kick off a new little mini series today, and what I want us to talk about is something that's kind of not spoke about very much, not just in the church, but necessarily even in our culture, and that's the idea of honor. Now, we've been talking about this for a little bit, kind of this year, some things that we have lost during the season of the pandemic. And some of the things that we're going to be talking about, not just over the next couple of weeks with honor, but some of the things we're going to be talking about in July and August are what I would call forgotten virtues. Virtues that we used to hold maybe as people, as individuals, as a country, as Christians, that, man, the decay and the death of these virtues started long before the pandemic, and the pandemic just kind of came in and finished them out. And I'm talking about virtues like loyalty, integrity, gratitude, things that were on life support pre-COVID, and now all of a sudden it's like we just don't see it anymore. You know, all those things have been thrown out the window, and out of all of those, I think honor is one that's probably died a death way before this. And we don't live in a culture of honor, and I think that's why. I'll never forget first Mexico City mission trip that I ever went on. We took a group of college students and a few adults. We went down to Mexico City. I think the year I was thinking back, I think it was like 2008, if I was correct, Beth. And so we took a group down there, and we got connected with a missionary down there by the name of Angie Dexter. And you guys, you know, kind of those who've been around Re3 for a while, you know Angie, and she ended up marrying Pepe, and they came over and were a big part of our Re3 ministry. But this is the first time we ever met Angie. And so we get down there. Here's this group of a dozen or so, you know, Americans. None of us speak Spanish whatsoever. We're just down there to do missions and just help her out and do whatever. And I remember she took us out to dinner that very first night we got there, and she wanted to teach us culture training. And so she went through and she was teaching us, all right, here's what you do, here's what you don't do, you know, all these types of things. And one of the things that they do in Mexico, and this is uncomfortable for me, is they do like the kiss hello. Right? I mean, this is not, I don't do PDA. And so, yeah, please sit. I'm not doing that. So like, I need my space, right? And so she was like, yeah, you're going to have to like do the whole kiss hello thing. And I was like, what? And so she told us about this. And Laura, I think you were there, right? We had to practice on each other. It was the most uncomfortable thing I have ever done in ministry in my life. Right? It was like, oh my gosh. And it was just so uncomfortable. And so I remember, you know, she was like, but it's showing them honor. It's showing, you know, it's a sign of you're greeting them with honor with this kiss hello. And I remember I asked Angie, I was like, what's the equivalent in the U.S.? Like what? And she looked at me, she was like, there isn't. She was like, because we don't live in a culture of honor in our country. And I thought to thinking about it, she's right, you know? I mean, maybe a handshake, you know, used to be kind of a little sign of honor, and then COVID came and it became a fist bump, or now it's just a wave. You know what I mean? It's like, it's just not there anymore. There's not this sign of immediate honor that we present somebody with. And this is something that isn't new to 2008 or 2020 with COVID. This is something that's been going on for thousands and thousands of years. And even Jesus ran across this. And if you have your script Bibles, you turn me to the book of Mark. And this is going to sound a little familiar, this passage. We're going to read ultimately the first four to start off with, and we'll come back in at the end here in just a moment. But if you have your Bibles with me, turn to Mark chapter 6. We'll start reading in verse 1. It says, Jesus left there and he went to his hometown, accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. Where did this man get these things? They asked. What's this wisdom that he's been given? What are these remarkable miracles that he's performing? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son and brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor, except in his home, in his own town, among his relatives, and in his own home. If you would, pray for me as I pray for you. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. We just ask that you open our hearts and our ears to hear the things that we need to hear, Lord. Ultimately, God, if there's ways in our lives that we're not being honorable, honorable to you, honorable to others, if this idea of honor is a forgotten virtue of what we've been called to be and do as believers, then God, I pray you just challenge us with that this morning, convict our hearts. Lord, teach us what it means to honor you. Teach us what it means to honor you by honoring others. Lord, I pray all these things in your holy name. Amen. So Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own town, among his relatives, and in his own home. This term, without honor, is actually a Greek word. The Greek word is atimos. Atimos. And what atimos means is ordinary or common. So what these guys were doing is they were looking at Jesus. They were hearing Jesus' teachings. They were seeing the miracles. They had heard about the miracles, all of these things. And when Jesus shows up, they're like, hold up. How is this guy doing all of this stuff? He is just a common person. I mean, there's nothing special about Jesus. Like, isn't he the carpenter? I mean, isn't he Mary's son? Like, his brothers are here. His sisters are here. Like, we all know this guy. There's nothing special about him. He's ordinary. He's common. There's no reason we should be honoring him. And then this word honor, when it's used here, when Jesus said, look, I'm without honor. You see me as common and ordinary. So there's no honor here. This word honor is actually another Greek word. It's called timē. It means to value, to highly esteem, to treat as precious, weighty, or valuable. Treat something that has value, to treat somebody or something with esteem, to hold it up. Jesus is like, look, you're not giving me honor. You're not lifting me up. You're not holding me to esteem because you just see me as common. You just see me as ordinary. I am the Son of Man. I am the Savior of the world. I am much more than ordinary. I am honorable. And we do this. When we have things that we honor, that we hold up, and maybe it's something physical. Let's just start there. You know, we kind of put it a place of a prominence in our home or whatever. If you walk in my office right now, you go over to my bookshelf. I have all these little knickknacks and stuff I have sitting there. One of the things I have in it is a baseball. And it's in this little case. And inside the case, it has like this little baseball card kind of standing in front of it. And there's a picture, a baseball card of John Kruk. And you're like, what in the world does this have to do with anything, right? Like, why does Mike have this in his office? In 1992, I thought about this because Jacob just graduated like 2 days ago. 1992, I graduated. So, you know, 30 years ago. And for a graduation present, my dad took me to Atlanta to see an Atlanta Braves game. I'd never been to a Braves game before. Dad had never been to a Braves game before. We didn't even know how to get to Atlanta. So we got on one of these tour buses and took a tour. And Dad and I went down there and we went to the game. And we saw a couple games. I believe it was around Labor Day weekend of 1992. I'll never forget, we were sitting there at the old stadium, and we were sitting just kind of, just I guess, right of the foul pole. So like right down the third baseline, right there at the foul pole. And at some point in the game, John Kruk, who used to play for the Philadelphia Phillies, got up and he hit this ball. And it was coming right down the foul line. And so there was just, is it going to be a homer? Is it going to be foul? What's going to happen? I mean, it was coming right down the line. And then all these people started standing up because they were ready to catch this ball. Well, the ball ended up going just slightly foul, so just past the foul pole into my dad's hands. Dad caught this ball, right? Our first major league game ever, and Dad catches this foul ball from John Kruk. Dad's holding it up, and everybody's cheering and chanting in our section. And what was amazing, if you remember the 92 Braves team, there was this guy that played for them named Sid Bream. Y'all remember Sid, right? Well, my dad was like a Sid Bream lookalike. So everybody in the section started chanting, Sid, Sid, Sid. And my dad's like holding up the ball. And it was amazing because Mom's at home, and she's doing some like housework. She's doing something. She has the game on. And what happened, Mom? You saw us on TV, right? Catch this foul ball. So this ball, I couldn't sell it for a wooden nickel at a yard sale, right? Nobody wants this ball. But to me, what is it? It's valuable. It means something to me. It's something, this is a core memory that I'll have the entire rest of my life. My dad caught this foul ball at our first baseball game, and we were on television, and it's sitting in my office right now. I lift it up, and I hold it as a place of honor. Like, man, that is amazing. That's just something physical, but shouldn't we be treating people the same way, even more? Like to be able to lift people up, to hold people at a place of honor because we find them valuable. We see value in their life. And maybe if nothing else, because God sees value in their life. When you think about what honor is, honor builds up. Honor believes the best. Honor values. And when you talk about dishonoring somebody, let's look at the opposite of that. If honor builds up, dishonor tears down. If honor believes the best, dishonor believes the worst. And if honor believes someone is valuable, dishonor devalues them. I see this a lot in marriage counseling. And I've said this before. I mean, pastoring, preaching is like the tiniest part of my job, right? Like there's so much more that goes on. And those of you who have been pastors, you know this. Like for me, for whatever reason, if I look back over the last 26 years, the bulk of my job was probably spent in counseling with people. Right? One-on-one or marriage counseling or whatever. And I've done a lot of marriage counseling, premarital, postmarital, whatever, just trying to keep relationships together. Or maybe like after it's over, trying to counsel through people. But there are times when I'll sit down with a couple that's having some struggles. And they'll be telling me, oh, well, this is what I don't like about what he does. And this is what I don't like what she does. And they're da-da-da-da-da-da. And I'll ask them a series of questions and trying to probe and see what is at the heart of the matter. But one of the questions that I tend to kind of always come back to when I ask is I'll ask one of the spouses. I'll say, all right, tell me something how you honor your spouse. Just give me an example. Tell me some way you honor her. Give me some way you honor him. And more times than not, what I hear is this. When they do something honorable, I will honor them. Okay. I can see how we would think that. But the truth is, we're talking about two different things. See, they're talking about respect. Respect is earned. You do something, you can earn my respect. Respect is earned. Honor is given. See what I'm saying? There's a big difference there. You can't earn honor. Honor is there because you honor someone. You hold someone of value regardless of what they're doing. I'm going to lift them up. I'm going to believe the best in them. I'm going to hold them at this place of value. That is honor. And so I try to explain this. Like here's the problem with your marriage. You don't honor your spouse. You don't see them as having value in their marriage, in your marriage. That's a big difference. I think about Beth. She's an attorney. She's a wonderful attorney. She's been doing it a long time. But right now, she's just Beth the attorney. She goes into work, she's Beth the attorney. Somebody needs some legal stuff done to give it to her. She does attorney work, whatever. Let's say something happened and tomorrow she walked in and all of a sudden some higher up court, some political official, whatever, called Beth in and said, Beth, we are going to appoint you as judge. What's Beth's title now? Your Honor. Your honor. Nothing's changed. Beth still has the integrity, the loyalty, the gratitude, all of these things that make her an amazing attorney. None of that's changed. What's changed is her title. Now all of a sudden she's held what? At a place of honor. You see what I'm saying? Honor is given. It's not earned. It is because of where you're at and who you are in life and what's going on. How valuable are you to me? That's honor. Jesus dealt with this right then. He shows up and he's with his friends and his family and he's in his hometown and he's there in Nazareth and all of a sudden people, they knew, they heard the words he was teaching. They saw some of the miracles and at very least they heard about the miracles. Nah, not Jesus. He's just a common guy. He's just ordinary. There's nothing valuable about him. And Jesus said, let's take a step back. Because everyone has honor. Everyone has valuable depending on where you're at in life. And that's what we're going to look at this morning just real quickly. In Mark chapter 6, I like what Jesus says here as he wraps it up. This is Jesus. He says, a prophet is not without honor except in his own home, among his relatives and in his own home, in his town. And then it says this, he, Jesus, could not do any miracles there. Except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. He was amazed at their lack of faith. I underlined that word. I never really saw it before until I started studying over the last couple of weeks on honor. He could not do any miracles. It doesn't say he would not. Jesus didn't walk in and say, you know what? You're not honoring me. You see me as ordinary. You see me as common. So you know what? I'm just going to walk out of here and I'm not going to do any miracles. That would have been a choice, right? Oh, he would not do any. But that's not the word, is it? The word is he could not. This tells me that no matter how bad Jesus wanted to, when he looked around and saw their lack of faith, and more importantly, their lack of honor, which is what Jesus touched on, it's like, I can't do anything with you. If you're not going to honor God, if you're not going to honor who you know is the Son of Man, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, I can do all these miracles. Even if you don't understand how or why or any of these things, if you can't honor me, it is impossible. I cannot do the miracles you need in your life. It can't happen. It's not that he wouldn't, it's that he couldn't. Honor lifts. Dishonor tears down. So what does the Bible say about honor? And this is what we're going to touch on. This is like a 30,000 foot flyover over the next couple of weeks. We're going to be diving into certain people in our life who we should be maybe looking at and honoring in our lives. When we think about the question is, who are we called to honor? I think first and foremost, one of the first things we think about is who? Our parents, right? Our parents is right there in Exodus 20. It says, honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Honor your father and your mother. Man, this is it. I mean, yeah, how many of you still, I mean, as adults, will still say yes, ma'am, yes, sir, to your, you know, parents, right? Because why? I mean, it's because you hold them at a place, you're going to get smacked probably, but you hold them at a place of honor. It's like, yeah, they're my parents. I have to do this. I mean, those of you who have raised kids and raised teenagers, you know how bad they can be at home, right? But at least when we get out in public, they're going to treat you with a little bit more honor, right? They ain't going to show up. How do you feel when you see some kid showing off in public in front of their parents? What I think is if they're that bad in Target, how are they going to be at home, right? Like there is no honor in their lives. Like this parent, this teenager, this elementary school kid, middle school, high school, they don't honor their parents. They don't see their parents as a place of having authority in their life to be able to build them up, to give them what they need in their life. They don't see their parents as having honor. They don't lift them up in that way. Sometimes I know we have to remind our kids. We remind our kids sometimes. That, like, look, when, you know, when they're kind of pushing back on some things, Beth and I have to say, look, you know what? You're still X years old. You still live in our house. Like, we are still your parent. You are our child, right? No matter how old you are. They have to remember that we, you know, agree, disagree, like, not like, whatever's going on at the time, there has to be this idea of honor when it comes to, the Bible says, your parents. Now, I've, again, in counseling, been asked a bunch because, let's face it, as parents, we ain't perfect. We mess up our kids. Sometimes we realize it and we try our best to try to work that out. Some parents mess up their kids and don't have a clue. Dads walk out on families. Moms, you know, abusive or whatever toward their kids. I mean, I just see it. And it wrecks us as adults. And so the question I get often is, how can I honor a parent who's hurt me? And I'm talking really hurt you. I'm not talking about a spanking. I'm not talking about telling you no. I'm talking about some type of something that has been a scar that has left a wound in you your whole life. How do I honor them? And my answer to that is this, and I'll just make this as simple as possible. We are called to do two things in the scriptures. We are called to love and to honor. We are not called to like and respect, right? Again, love your enemies. God calls us to love. He doesn't say we have to like them. To me, that's a big difference. To like would be them to earn your affection for them. I like them. I like being with them. I like being around them. I like who they are. But you can love them as a soul. You can love them as a person, even with all of their flaws, all of everything. You know what? I don't have to like you. I don't have to let your toxic life interfere with my life. But I can love you the same way as goes with honor. Remember, honor is given. Respect is earned. What do I do with a parent that hurts me? You can still honor them as your parent. You don't have to respect the choices they made. You don't have to like and respect the things that they've done in your life. You can love them. You can honor them from a distance. You don't have to let them continue to hurt you. That's the difference here. We're talking about honor is given. Sometimes people just have to be given honor because of where they are in life. We don't get to choose our parents. The Bible says, look, honor your parents. Honor who they are because they gave you physically life, physical life on this earth. You honor them. The second group that we're called to honor is this, those in authority. Romans 13:7 says this, give to everyone what you owe them. If you owe taxes, pay your taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. That's tough sometimes, right? How do we give honor to some, to an authority person who we may not always align with, who we may not always agree with? It could be a teacher. It could be a coach. It could be a boss. It may be a political figure. Years ago, Mike Willard and I worked at a church together here in Kernersville. And I don't know if you remember this, Mike. Occasionally, we had a congresswoman that would pop in, Virginia Fox, right? She'd pop in our office every now and again and just ask, how's things going in Kernersville? What can I do as your congresswoman to help things in Kernersville? I don't know what her political beliefs are about anything. But this woman, that meant something to me, that she would want to stop in and ask us as two pastors, what can I help Kernersville do better? I thought that was pretty cool. Well, then all of a sudden, if you guys remember, this is a couple presidents ago, George W., right? G.W. Bush came to Kernersville and was going to speak at the Deer Hitachi plant. And so when I heard he was coming, I mean, I was like, you know, it's one thing for like presidents to go into like big cities, you know, but to come to a little town like Kernersville, that's pretty special. I don't care who the president is. So I called Virginia Fox's office. I was going to try to call in his favor. I called her office. I was like, hey, this is who I am. This is what I do. You know, Virginia stopped by before. We're good friends. You know, whatever I had to tell her. I said, is there any way I could get a seat to be able to be in the room to see President Bush? And they said, well, let us see what we can do. Like a day went by. I didn't hear anything. I kind of was like, it probably won't happen. Then I get this phone call from this blocked number. And I answer it. I'm like, hello? And they're like, is this Michael Giannopoulos? I was like, yes, it is. This is so-and-so from the White House. That's a cool call to get, right? I mean, that's like, all right. And I was like, yeah, this is me. And so they're like, well, give us all your information. We need to vet you, blah, 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 blah. Then Virginia Fox's office will be in contact with you. Fast forward. They call. They're like, all right, we're going to let you come. And not only that, we're going to have you as one of our distinguished guests. I was like, well, all right, you know? And so they said, all right, you need to go park here. You're going to get on this shuttle, and we're going to take you over, and you'll come in. We're going to give you a tour, and then, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, all right. So I remember I parked. I got on the shuttle, and I was on the shuttle with all these Deer Hitachi people, right, that, you know, they were coming in. I don't know if they were paid. I don't know if they were made to come. I don't know what. But there's this one guy in particular. He did not like George W. And he was like, I don't know why I'm having to come to this, man. I hate that guy, blah, blah, blah. I'm not going to stand for him. I'm not going to clap for him. And I remember sitting there thinking, like, dude, you're going to be in a room with a president. Like, you know, like this is pretty cool. Like he holds his place of honor, regardless if you voted for him, didn't vote for him, agree with his politics or whatever. I mean, there's only, like, so many, right, that's ever been. And to be able to be in the room, at least be like, holy cow, like, I'm in a room with the president of the United States of America. I mean, I couldn't get over it. Like, and I wanted to see this guy because I bet you anything, when W came out, that guy stood up and clapped, right? I mean, I just know it. But I tried looking for him, but there was a crowd of people. But it was really cool. I got to go, and it was me and like five or six other people, and they gave us this tour of the Hitachi plant, and then they put us on the front row. And then when George came out and he gave his talk, George came down and he came and shook all of our hands. And I remember he shook my hand, and he was like, thank you so much for coming today. And I'm like, me, like, you know, like holy God, like, you're the one that I'm honoring. But I felt like this honor was returned. Isn't that how it should be in life? You honor someone. You lift them up. You hold them at this place of value. And they should turn around and do the exact same to you. To where you're like, no, you're the one I should be honoring. No, you're the one I should be honoring, right? Like, to be able to keep lifting each other up. It's like the old saying, like, rising tide lifts all ships. Like, if we really honor the way that we're supposed to, if we really honor one another, regardless if it's your teacher, your coach, your boss, whoever is an authority in your life, if you hold them in a place of honor, eventually they're going to be honorable. Eventually, they're going to do something to you where they're going to honor you and you're going to feel that value to you. And if it's a place where you just can't, you know, where you're just like, you know what, I can't honor this boss of mine because he doesn't have integrity. He's not loyal. She's not whatever. Well, then that's when you need to decide, do I really need to be here or not? You know? Because you want to be able to work at a place or be coached by someone or do whatever where that person in authority, where you can honor them. Not that you always have to agree with them. Not that you always like them. But because of the way they live their life, you can hold them up in a place of honor. The last, third thing. And this sounds a little self-serving, but this is a great verse. The elders who direct, this comes from 1 Timothy chapter 5. The elders who direct the affairs of the church well are worthy of double honor, especially those whose work is preaching and teaching. I just got an amen from Robert and Mike, right? I mean, so number three, like we honor our parents, we honor those in authority, and as believers, as church members, as people in a body of Christ, whether it's here at Re3 or any other church you've ever been to or any other church you may end up at, if you're watching online, the church that you're at, God calls us to honor our pastors and our church leaders as believers. There's a guy, and y'all may know him, Jeremy Morris. Y'all know Jeremy? Like, some of y'all know Jeremy. I call him the mayor of Kernersville. Like, this guy goes to like 14 different churches here in town. He works at Walmart, and everybody knows Jeremy, right? I'll never forget, we had a Sunday school class at the old church Mike and I used to be at, and I did this cookout at my house one night, and I had all the Sunday school class came over, and they ate at our house, and Jeremy was in, he wasn't in my Sunday school class, but somehow he just showed up. He heard there was food, and he showed up at our house, and we had a new couple who had just started attending the church, and this was like the first non-Sunday morning event they'd ever been to. They come to our house, so I'm sitting there, and I'm talking to, his name's Sean, I'm talking to Sean, and we're talking, and Jeremy comes up, and I'm like, hey, Jeremy, I want you to meet, this is Sean, man, he's brand new to church, you know, blah, blah, blah. Jeremy, if you know Jeremy, Jeremy's like about, I don't know, 7'4", 400 pounds. He's a big dude, right? I mean, he's just a big guy. All of a sudden, he shook Sean's hand. He said, this is my pastor. If you do anything to him, I will hurt you. Honest to God. Sean was like, what? And I was like, whoa, Jeremy, like, where did this come from? Like, I like it, but you don't, like, I need you for other people, but not Sean. Like, this is fine. And he was just like, I love this man. And he was just giving Sean this speech, and it was incredible. But for that one moment in time, I felt honored, right? Like, I did. And all of you should go repent, because none of y'all have done that for me, right? Like, I don't know if any of my ears threaten someone's life, but it was, I felt very honored, right? Honored as to be his pastor, that here Jeremy is, he's threatening somebody. But that's the thing, like, man, with being a pastor, I'm just speaking from my personal experience, my heart, because I have served in churches where I did not feel like pastors were honored. They weren't trusted, they weren't honored. Here, I don't feel that way. I'm able to do what I do because I believe the people in this church love and support my family, and you honor me at the position of pastor. You trust me. You're like, you know what, if Mike says it, we trust him. Until he does something off the rails, man, we're just going to go for it. So I'm able to do what I need to do because I feel honored by you guys. But it's not like that in every church. I have pastors now, friends of mine now, when we get together, I feel bad bragging about how great things are at Re3 because all they want to talk about is how bad things are at their church. The gossip, the backstabbing, the, you know, people undermining one another, the drama, all of this stuff, how they want to do something, but the church doesn't trust them as their pastor, blah, 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 and they haven't done anything wrong to be untrustworthy, right? But it's because they don't hold them at a place of honor. Again, honor isn't saying that you have to agree with everything the pastor says. Honor's not saying that you even have to like that pastor all the time. Honor says that you have a place of authority in our life in the church, that we trust you. We're with you. We're not going to talk junk about you. We're not going to gossip about you. We're just going to hold you up, and we're going to move forward. And the thing I've never understood, and I can say this after being in church for 26 years as a pastor, I have never understood the people who are so bitter and angry at their pastor, but yet they won't leave. It's not doing anybody any favors. You're not doing that church any favors. You're not doing your pastor any favor. And more importantly, you're not doing yourself any favors. You should be at a place that you can be with a pastor that you align with, that it's easy for you to honor, to trust, to follow along with, and to go with. If it's a struggle for you, man, you don't need to be there. Man, I've said it here. I've said it like at other churches. I've wanted to say it at some of the churches, like the doors aren't locked. You know, like we're not keeping you here. Like if you're uncomfortable, if you're like, you know what? I just hate my pastor. I don't know why I even go anymore. God has a church for you. He really does. It's not honoring to that pastor. It's not honoring to you or to the people in your family to keep just reluctantly going and just hating life. That's not what church should be about. I think that's what God wanted when he talks about, when Timothy talked about this whole idea of this double honor. Having someone in the church as a believer that you can fall in line with, that you're just all behind and you trust. Even if you don't always agree, I trust them. We're called to honor our parents. We're called to honor those in authority. We're called to honor, as Christians, our pastors and our church leaders. Why? Romans 12. Love one another with brotherly affection. And this is incredible. Outdo one another in showing honor. Love one another with brotherly affection and outdo one another in showing honor. Man, you think you're showing them honor? Wait till I show you what I can do showing them honor. The people in your life, your parents, your spouse, the authority figures in your life, your boss, your coaches, your teachers, honoring them because of who they are and where they are in your life. So why don't we? Why is our culture so bad at honor? It's because we are people who do not honor God. That's where it starts. If we're not going to honor God with our lives, with our decisions, if we're not going to lift God up and say, God, I trust you. I value you. I hold you at the utmost esteem as I possibly can. If we're not going to honor God, of course we're not going to honor one another. It just makes sense. It's insane. Why would we honor someone who is broken and imperfect when we can't even honor the one who is perfect? And I think about it. It says in Psalm 22, you who fear the Lord, praise him. All your descendants of Jacob, honor him. Revere him, all the descendants of Israel. I think one of the reasons we dishonor God is we just become too familiar with him, right? He's kind of just that big guy in the sky. You know, he's the Ricky Bobby, the little baby Jesus in a manger, right? I mean, that's who we view God as. We do not view God as his risen Savior and this conquering King. We don't see God that way. Like, God's just, he's just one of the boys. No, he's not. Like, he is the highest of highs. He is the most high God. He is it, right? We are called to honor him. Why? Because of who he is. When we honor God, we will naturally honor each other. Because of who he is and because of what he's given us. That's why. One more baseball story. Babe Ruth. Everybody knows Babe Ruth, right? Babe Ruth in his lifetime signed hundreds, if not thousands, of baseballs. But it is believed that Babe Ruth actually only signed 7 bats. You can believe that. They think he only signed 7 bats in his entire life. One of the bats he signed for a Los Angeles newspaper. And he signed it and he gave it to this newspaper. And this newspaper advertised in Los Angeles, whoever's the home run champ of Los Angeles is going to get a special prize at the end of the season. Well, this kid, the senior in high school, goes, he wins the home run title in L.A. So this newspaper in L.A. had this bat that was signed by Babe Ruth. And Babe Ruth wrote something on it, something like, to the home run champ of L.A. And he signed it Babe Ruth. And he gave it to the newspaper. The newspaper gave it to this kid, right? This kid kept it his whole life. Never did anything with it, just kept it. You know, it was valuable to him. Maybe, you know, like I'm holding on to that ball, right? He held on to this bat. Well, in the early 80s, when this kid finally was way up in the years, and he was near death, he had no more immediate living family members. So he gave a bunch of his belongings to his nurse that had been taking care of him. And one of the things that he gave his nurse was this bat. Well, this nurse didn't know anything about Babe Ruth. She didn't know anything about this baseball bat. She just took it, and literally she said she put it under her bed. And she kept this signed Babe Ruth baseball bat under her bed for 16 years. Finally, around 2006, this nurse decided she wanted to change professions, and she always had dreamed of being a chef and opening up her own restaurant. So she decided she was going to open up her own restaurant. So she was meeting with banks and talking about loans or whatever. And then somebody suggested, hey, maybe you need to start selling some stuff. Maybe some stuff you might own to help get you some money to be able to open this restaurant. So she remembered about the bat. So she dug it out from under her bed. She took it to a collector, and she was like, is this thing worth anything? Well, they, of course, they sent it off to verify that this was all real. Of course, it came back absolutely real. It sold at auction that year for $1.3 million. So she opened up her restaurant, and on a cool side story, she started this Babe Ruth Foundation that helps kids, needy kids, in whatever area that she's living in. That bat was valuable. Why? Because of where it came from, who owned it, and who signed it. I want you to think about your own life. You are valuable because of where you came from, because of who you are and whose you are. And if you are a believer, it's because of whose signature is signed on your heart. Man, if we can't honor God for that, we'll never be able to honor anybody. To be able to give God the honor for the salvation, for saving you, for being there for you, for bringing you what you need in your life and peace and forgiveness and kindness. To be able to accept that as valuable now. I am valuable because God says I am. And if you can honor God and all that he's done for you, you can honor those around you. Your parents, authority figures, church people, your spouse, whoever. Because you see them as valuable. You lift them up. Don't tear them down. Now, it's easier said than done. Isaiah even talks about this in Isaiah 29. I'll leave you with this. The Lord says, these people come near to me with their mouth, and they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They come near to me with their mouth, and they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. You see, honor, showing honor and acting on honor is not an action issue. It's a heart issue. We can verbally say we honor somebody. We can even fake it. But it's a heart issue. If in your heart you're not honoring your parents, if in your heart you're not honoring those in authority to you, your boss, your coach, your teacher, whoever it may be, your pastors, that's a heart issue. God knows. I may never know. Your boss may never know. Your spouse may never know. Your parents may never know, but God will know. Honor is a heart issue. It is a virtue. We are called to honor others because we are called to honor him. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, this morning I just pray that, you just bring us back to a heart of honor. To a life of honor. If we think about those in our lives, whether it's people we're related to, like our parents, our spouses, the Lord, that we honor them because of who they are in our life and where they are in our life. That we don't just show it by our actions, we just don't say it with our mouths, but Lord, in our hearts, we lift them up. That we build them up, we believe the best in them, and we hold them at a place of value. Lord, for the people that you've placed in our lives over us, teachers or coaches or bosses or whoever it may be, give us a heart to honor them and the position that they have in our lives. That we may not always agree with the decisions they're making, we may not always agree with the direction that they want us to go, but God, they're above us. And as tough as that is to hear sometimes, and as tough as that is, we want to believe. They have authority over us. And Lord, if we're in a place that we just cannot submit to their authority, or we're in a place where we can't hold them in honor because of maybe a lack of other virtues in their own lives, Lord, make it clear and give us a way out. I mean, changing schools, change schools. Changing teams, change teams. Changing jobs, change jobs. Lord, and the same goes for church. If we're ever in a place where we're struggling, Lord, as believers, in a church setting, to honor the pastor of the church that we're at, whether it's here or any church in the world, Lord, help us to realize that's not the best thing for us. That we need to be at a place, Lord, where we can honor our pastor, we can trust our pastors. And if not, Lord, we need to be at a place, Lord, where we can, so that we can grow and that we can be who you've called us to be, Lord, under their authority. Lord, and more importantly than all of this, above our parents, above the authority figures in our lives, above our pastors, God, help us to honor you. Help us to honor you with our decisions. Help us to honor you with our lives. And help us to honor you with our hearts. To trust you when we just don't see where it's going. To have faith in you, God, through the midst of our pains and our struggles and our trials. To come to you, Lord, we know we have fallen, for your love and your kindness and your forgiveness, for it is your kindness that leads us to repentance. Lord, and as we fall in love with you all over again, and as our honor for you is lifted, so be it. Let it lift up the honor of those in our lives. Help us to realize we can't honor man if we can't honor you. Work on our hearts. Lead us to a place where we need to be. Do whatever it takes to get us there. And let us love and honor you in the way that you deserve to be honored. It's in your holy name we pray. Amen. All right. A couple of things really quick before we jet. See, Melissa, if you have any questions about creating Connect coming up this week.